Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
Shalom, everyone. God bless you. Today, we are continuing the study together of the Gospel of John. And we are today have arrived to the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John. It is a blessing for all of us to be able to study the Word of God together, to be under the sound of the Word, to be occupied with the person of our Lord Yeshua Jesus, the Messiah. And today I would like to read with you the first 18 verses of John, Yohanan, chapter 5. To remind you that John, his Hebrew name is Yohanan, he was the one that was chosen by our Lord Jesus, our Lord Yeshua, to be this apostle that presented before us this amazing gospel of Yohanan, of John, which really present Yeshua Jesus in his divine nature, emphasizing specifically the divine nature of the Messiah. This is very important. And in this fifth chapter, which is extremely an interesting chapter, we find the Lord Yeshua, Jesus, again in the city of Jerusalem, and he is now healing a man in the pool of Beit Chasda, Bethesda. In Hebrew, we call it Beit Chasda. Let me read these verses in order to have the Word of God before us. So please follow me as we are reading the first 18 verses of John chapter 5. And we read, "After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is a Jerusalem by the sheep gate," in Hebrew, Shaar HaTzon, "a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue, Beit Chasda." Beit Chasda, Bethesda in English, having five porches. "In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Yeshua saw him lay and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man. When the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole. He took up his bed and walk. On the same day was the Shabbat. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Shabbat day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was. For Yeshua had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and saith unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Shabbat day. But Yeshua answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Shabbat, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Beloved friend, this is such an amazing passage here in the fifth chapter of the Gospel of John, because in this we learn much about the fact that Yeshua presented himself to Israel, to our people of old, and as he was presenting himself, he definitely sought to convey to Israel that he is not only that he was the promised Messiah, but that he is indeed a divine person. You notice what we read in verse 18 at the last portion for this reading today. We find out that the Jewish leaders sought the more to kill him. Why? Because he not only had broken the Shabbat, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. This is really a challenge for our people of Israel, of course, historically, even today, but also it is a challenge for all men in this world to recognize that the Messiah, that this Yeshua, that this Jesus is indeed God the Son. He is indeed equal with God the Father. He is one of the triune persons of the Godhead, and he is the one that entered into this world in order to provide redemption for sinners such as us all. You remember we read in the beginning of the Gospel of John that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we also read in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is fundamental, my dear friend. My dear friend, if you are ever going to understand the truth of redemption, salvation for us all who have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we must accept the fact that we needed much more than just good works, good deeds. Even the sacrificial system only can cover temporarily sin, but now there is no temple, there is no priesthood, there is no altar, there is no bloodshed on an altar, but all these sacrifices pointed to the supreme sacrifice of the Messiah of Israel, who would be much more than just another man, God and man in one. This is essential. And in his humanity, he suffered and died for the sin of this world. But listen to this. We could see, first of all, in the first 9 verses of John chapter 5, we see how Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, heals physically an impotent man. Then in verses 10 to 18, we see not only this man's physical healing, but we see the spiritual healing. And this is an amazing lesson for us to learn, because we need much more than physical healing, because even though we will be healed physically, we need spiritual healing that will provide for us eternal relationship with God. We need healing from our sin and from our sins. And for that, we needed someone to be punished in our stead. So you notice this, beloved, a friend and brothers and sisters, John chapter 5 presented for us, first of all, how Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, cured a sick man. And you notice we read in verse 1, we read, for after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Yeshua went up to Jerusalem. Well, to remind you that according to the book of Deuteronomy, God commanded his people Israel to come to the city of Jerusalem 3 times a year for the express purpose that all the Jewish male will come to represent their families in the 3 feasts that the Lord have instructed them. You notice it says in Deuteronomy 16, verse 16, 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place. Where is the place? This is the temple in the city of Jerusalem, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread. This is Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, Passover and unleavened bread. And then in the feast of weeks, this is Shavuot in Hebrew. And then in the feast of Tabernacles, this is the feast of Sukkot. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. So God had commanded Israel, the Jewish community, our own people historically, to go 3 times a year to the city of Jerusalem and to offer sacrifices on these particular occasions. Very important. So we find the Lord again now on the way to Jerusalem. You remember we read of him in Cana in chapter 2 of the Gospel of John. Then we read of him back to Jerusalem again in chapter 2 at the temple. Then in chapter 4, he's going up towards the Galil, and he's finding himself on the way in the Shomron in Samaria. And then he finds himself arriving again to the Galil in chapter 4. And then now he's coming back to the city of Jerusalem. Now, it may have been Pesach once again. We do not know. It may have been the feast of Shavuot, the feast of weeks. But whatever feast it must have been, he, Yeshua, is one among the people of Israel, went to the city of Jerusalem, to the temple in that city. Now, of course, the conditions were not well, and he, Yeshua, is coming now to heal one that was in need. It says in verse 2 that there was in Jerusalem by the sheep gate. Notice it says in some of the translation the sheep market, but actually it is a sheep gate. In Hebrew we call it Sha'ar HaTzon. In the text is supposed to say Sha'ar HaTzon, the sheep gate. Why? That where the sheep were brought in order to be slaughtered on the altar. And there was a gate. Through the gate, many sheep have crossed and passed into the area where the temple was in order to provide atonement over the generations in the city of Jerusalem and in the temple. And so notice it is interesting because it says there that there was a pool which is called in the Hebrew language, in the Hebrew tongue, it is called Beit Chasda. In English it says Bethesda, but Beit Chasda, Beit come from the word house, Chasda come from the word mercy and grace. It is really speaking about the fact that the name was the house of grace, the house of mercy, and there were 5 porches. And how sad it is, it says in the next verses, my dear friend, that there were so many people there in that area, in the 5 porches. Now, to remind you that the sheep gate is in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 3 and chapter 12, we learn of the sheep gate in the days of Nehemiah, and it is representing here these The name Beit Chasda simply meaning that God is there providing grace and mercy. And so we read in the next verses, verse 3, how it says here in these five porches, there lay a great multitude of impotent folks. In other words, people that had, they were sick. In the Hebrew word, it says cholim. Multitude of people that were sick, and we can have the description of them. They were blind and halt and withered, and they were waiting for the moving of the water. Why? Verse 4 tells us, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So, beloved friend, it is interesting that the scripture teaches us here that an angel went down at a certain season, certain time. It could be maybe we don't know how many times a year and so on, but there are certain seasons in which the angel would come down, he would shake the water, and whoever went in, he or she were healed. Now, I know some translation eliminate this verse 4, but if you eliminate verse 4 included in this text, then we have a problem, of course, to understand verse 7. It doesn't make sense because he himself, this man that was, that the Lord came to heal, he himself using the same expression about the troubling of the water down in the 7th verse of this 5th chapter of the Gospel of John. But it is interesting because it is very important for us to understand that in Jewish history, angels, biblically speaking, angels were involved in many, many events in the history of our people, the people of Israel. Biblical history, for example, from the beginning in Genesis chapter 16, already in Genesis chapter 16, we read that the angel of the Lord said unto her, verse 7 tells us, and the angel of the Lord found her. This is Hagar. The angel of the Lord spoke to Hagar and gave her, encouraged her when she had to be taken out of the home of Abraham, our father. In Genesis chapter 18, in verse 2, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he looked, and lo, were three men stood by him. And we find out immediately that one of these men is the Lord himself appeared as a man to speak unto Abraham. But if you notice, when we get to chapter 19, we discover very quickly that these remaining two men were actually angels. Genesis chapter 19, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So you can see that angels were involved in the history of our people of Israel, and it is not merely a myth, but God always used angels, messengers, to serve his people, the people of Israel. In fact, beloved friends, we read in the book of Genesis in chapter 22 how in verse 11, after Abraham sought in obedience to God to offer Isaac his son, we read there that God was pleased with Abraham's obedience. And so we read in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I, Hineni. And the angel, which is, of course, we understand that that was the Lord himself appearing as an angel to Abram. But the point is that angels had much to involvement in Israel's history throughout the history of the nation of Israel. In fact, beloved friend, in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 12, we read in connection with Jacob that he dreamed, and behold, a ladder, verse 12, set up on the earth, the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Biblically speaking, much information was given to the people of Israel, Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov, and so on, from the angels that God have used to serve his people. I don't know if you remember, but in Genesis chapter 31 and verse 11, it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto me in a dream, saying, Yaakov, Jacob. And I said, Here am I." And Jacob is sharing how the angel of the Lord has spoken unto him. So angels had much to do, much involvement in the history of the people of Israel. And biblically speaking, we can see this found in the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 33, we read in verse 2, "And I will send an angel," God is saying to Moshe, to Moses, "I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And so on, unto the land flowing with milk and honey," and so on. And so God is always mentioned the angels in reference to the people of Israel, because they are called in the scripture are those that are serving. They are called servant. The Hebrew word malachim, malach, simply means messengers. And so, beloved friends, the angels are servants of the Lord. It says in the book of Hebrews, interesting, when the apostle wrote to the early Hebrew believers in Jesus the Messiah, he said, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool?" And then he continued and he said in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, "Are they not," speaking about the angels, "all ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto them who shall be heirs of salvation?" And you see, beloved friend, angels were servants. They are serving God. We don't see them, but angels do exist because God teaches this in his word, and it is extremely interesting. Daniel heard the angel speaking unto him, Gabriel, in chapter 9, and chapter 10, and chapter 12, the angels like Gabriel and Michael ministering to the servants of the Lord. I just also want to mention that in the book of Deuteronomy, we read in chapter 33 in relationship to the provision of the law, we do read in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 and 2, "And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, The Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000 of saints," the Hebrew word is angels, "from his right hand went a fiery law for them." In fact, even the law was given to our people of old, the people of Israel, through the angels. This is very important to understand it. Very interesting, because even Stephen himself, beloved friend, for a moment as I'm speaking about this angel, Stephen himself in Acts chapter 7, we read what he said to the Jewish community, to the Pharisees, and to the Sanhedrin. In Acts chapter 7, verse 53, he's speaking about God and about Israel, who have received Israel the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. The law was given to Israel by the disposition of angels. This is fascinating to learn all these, beloved friends. So angels have a lot to be involved in Jewish history, in biblical Jewish history. And just one more verse. In Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul said in verse 19, he said, "Wherefore then served the law? It was added because of transgression until the seed should come to whom the promise was made." And notice this, beloved friend, "and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." So as I'm continuing now, just to emphasize the importance of angels in biblical history, here we find out that the scripture says in John chapter 5, as we read this text, that an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so we read, beloved brothers and sisters and dear friends, that this man was now sitting there by that pools in Beit Chasda. So in the next verses, this is kind of sad, because there was a sick man by that pool there. We read in verse 5, "And a certain man was there which had infirmity for 38 years. Can you imagine this man that was sitting there by that pool, like many others who were blind and halt and withered and so on? They're waiting for the moving of the water. Here is a specific man that sat there, that our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, you might say, zeroed on him. He sought to draw him to himself. It is always fascinating, beloved friends, how the Lord is dealing with individuals. In John 2, it was an individual couple that had a wedding. In John 3, it was an individual Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitan. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.